Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
September 26, 2006. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, money making tips. Yeah, we're going to talk about money today, or at least money as it relates to photography. I don't know how much I can help you with money as it relates to paying the rent and things like that, but money as it relates to photography, I think there are a few things to discuss here. And a lot of this has come out of mail that I've received and questions that I've been getting lately. People from our virtual camera club who really enjoy photography, who are serious about photography, and who are interested in making a little bit of money with their photography. Now, I don't think most folks are thinking when they ask me about this, about becoming a professional photographer, and that would be someone who's making basically all of his or her money off of photography, but more like a little side income to pay for photo adventures, to upgrade equipment, buy new lenses, software, things like that. And I think that's more where most people who ask me this question are coming from. They want to augment their income with their photography, something that for the most part they're pretty good at, and also costs them a fair amount of money to at least to continue to grow in their craft, but yet isn't really bringing in any money. So I thought, well, heck, let's talk about that a little bit today and see what we can do about that. We'll also have a little bit of virtual camera club business to take care of. I think I'll do that more near the end of the show. And let's just get to the bucks right now. Okay, so here's the deal. There is money to be made in photography. And I think this is especially true if you're not worried about having to make all of your money in photography. That's where it gets difficult. Now, I've been a freelance photographer. I've been a staff photographer. I've been a stringer for newspapers. I've done just about everything that a photographer could do except, the ones that are really super famous and have a ton of money and really fabulous studios. Haven't quite done that one yet. But in terms of all the middle on down roles that a photographer could have, I've done those. So I guess I'm just waiting for that the big one to come in, so to speak. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years doing photography in all these different roles is that when you don't need your photography to be your only source of income, it's a heck of a lot easier. Now, you might be thinking, well, why is that? Why would that be? Well, I can tell you right off the top. One of the things has to do with getting paid. When you're working for somebody else, when you have like your regular day job, as we say, then your payments, you know, your monthly salary or biweekly or however you get paid, that's pretty much on a regular schedule, and you can budget accordingly. You know, for the most part, that the money's coming in. Now, when you're in business for yourself as a photographer, then you start dealing with clients, and some clients will pay very well, and other clients, it will take you forever to get your money. And you never know which one's going to be which. So, you know, regular income, as far as paying the rent and buying groceries and all that sort of stuff, is a little bit more nerve-wracking, shall we say, when you're in business for yourself, and especially as a photographer. Now, the exception for me in all this is weddings. Weddings, I get paid regularly because of the nature of it. I get a deposit up front, a 50% deposit up front. And then on the day of the wedding, I get the other half, and that's just the way it is. Now, that works for weddings because that's sort of the way everyone does it. And so you're not doing anything that's particularly out of line there. But when you expand your photography and you start working for magazines and you start working for corporate clients and you start working for ad agencies, they all kind of call the shots. And so suddenly you don't get to say, well, you know what, if you don't give me my check on wedding day, well, I might not be so motivated to take pictures. That doesn't work with an ad agency. They'll go, you know, well, you're out of here and you'll never work in this town again. And you go, oh, well, okay, well, maybe we can work something out. You know, you quickly, quickly change your tack. So, you know, once you get outside of the wedding scene, then I think the whole payment thing changes quite a bit. Now, if you're freelancing and you have a regular day job, then this isn't nearly as nerve-wracking, because I'll have to say that generally speaking, you will get your money. Most people pay most of the time. In fact, it's been a long time, knock on wood, that that I haven't been paid for a job. So that part's okay. And then because you have a regular paycheck coming in, you're not so worried that if it's 15 days or 30 days or 90 days, you know, chances are you're going to get your money. And when you do, then you can, you know, buy that new lens or do whatever you want to do. So right away, having photography as a sideline, to me, makes it much more enjoyable and makes it easier to keep that passion, that fire inside going that you have for it right now, that I have for it right now, because you don't let the world screw it up for you by making money a big headache around it. And this applies even to me. Photography is not my only source of income right now. I make money from writing. I make money from being an editorial director for O'Reilly websites. I make money from teaching. I make money from doing all sorts of different things. Not a lot of money in any of these categories, but you know, you do enough things, it adds up enough to pay your bills. But I don't depend solely on photography for my income, and I don't depend solely on ad agencies and stuff to pay me on time. And then that way, I don't really worry if someone's a little late, then I have, you know, hopefully revenue coming in from somewhere else, and everything is okay. And I really think this is a great way to approach photography, because, again, you stay happy, enthused, and shooting. Okay, so anyway, we've established that. Now let's talk about photography as a side income. There are lots of opportunities out there for photographers, and I'm going to kind of go into some of them right now. The first tip I'm going to give you is something that I've used effectively over the years myself. I have been a staff photographer, and that was the reason why people hired me. But I've also had times where I couldn't get that type of job, and so I also write and I also do graphics work. So one of the things that I've learned, regardless of which capacity that I'm working in, is that always start, or something to think about anyway, is start where you're working right now. Now, at first you're going to say, what are you talking about? Well, the thing is that almost every business, regardless of what type of business it is, needs photography. And what a lot of photographers don't do is they don't explore their own business where they have connections, where they have a reputation, where they can walk into, you know, someone else's department and say, oh, hi, I'm Joe from accounting. I think I've seen you in the cafeteria. And I see that that you guys are putting on a conference next month. And I'm a photographer also. You probably don't know that because I'm over there in accounting, making sure that all the bills get paid. But I'm actually quite a good photographer, and I have some shots I can show you. And I was wondering if you have anyone that's covering the conference for you for the business here. And then yada, yada, yada. And you go down that vein. You may bump into people at your work who are involved in various things, products, events, HR, where they need portraits of employees. It goes on and on and on. Businesses need all sorts of photography type jobs. And a lot of times they don't know where to find good photographers. I mean, they know that they can go to the Yellow Pages and call someone in there. And then they go, but, you know, he's going to charge me a lot and da-da-da, and I don't know if he's any good. And I don't really know who he is and all that sort of stuff. So there's a natural sort of rapport that you have looking inside the business that you're already working at. And this is something that I really think that, you know, again, if you want to develop a sideline, that you should explore. Explore where you are right now. Explore the business that you're working in. Explore the church that you go to. Explore any clubs that you belong to. Explore everywhere where you have a personal connection at this moment. The really big thing from the client point of view is being comfortable with the person taking the pictures. Yes, the client wants to know that the pictures are going to be good and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But really, you know, what happens is when you bring a photographer into a situation, whether it be a social event or a catalog project or whatever, there's usually already an environment there. And people are very concerned about bringing someone in who's going to disrupt that environment. And so knowing right away that you're a nice person, that people like you, that you're well-respected at work, well, that already they're going, well, man, if you can take pictures too, that's great. So consider all the places that you're already working, socializing, you know, doing all these sort of things, and look for opportunities there. There's almost always work there. Now, in the beginning, you know, as you evaluate the situation, you may want to start out by doing the job at a very reduced price or for trade or for something like that so that you can say that they're a client, so you can add them to your client list, and so that you can have photos of something that you were hired to do. And then you can take that work that you've done for that existing client, even though you didn't get paid a whole lot, and show it to somebody else and to prove that you know what you're doing and that you're hireable, and then that next person, maybe you can charge more what you want. So sometimes you have to build these things a little bit over time. You can't just march in to your local church and say, you know, I want, you know, $800 a day to shoot your ice cream social. Probably ain't going to happen, okay? But if you offer volunteer to shoot their ice cream social, and it comes off nicely, and you put up a web page, and you do all that sort of stuff, then you can show that to somebody else and maybe get money for your next job. So that's tip number one, which is really, it's a tip for life in general, which is start where you are and then go from there. Now, another area to consider is what we call stock photography. And the world of stock photography has changed a lot. In the old days, you know, agencies were very picky about who they signed on. They basically made you sign an exclusive so that everything that you shot was available to them, and you couldn't sell it outside of the agency. And they usually demanded, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photos to get started. Now, today, agencies, things such as iStockPhoto and so forth, are a lot more, you know, photographer-oriented in the fact that they are more friendly toward the photographer in terms of exclusivity and how many photos they need and things like that. Where they're not more friendly toward the photographer is in how much they pay. The payments now have really fallen, and you just don't make the money per shot with a stock agency that you used to. Unless your photo happens to really catch on and they sell, you know, thousands of them, and then you'll do real well. So the model has changed a lot, but it's still something to consider. And I was just reading the other day about someone who started a little, you know, photo business on the side, and again, just enough to pay for equipment and create another revenue stream for himself by just setting up a little studio to shoot objects, you know, one of those, you know, basically a desktop studio with a, you know, little light box and everything. And then he would go and find unusual objects at yard sales and so forth, photograph them, and then offer them through stock sales. And what happens is, you know, people, you never know what people are going to need out there. They're looking for something. They're trying to put together a brochure or flyer or something. And having, a variety of unusual shots of objects and stuff, a lot of times really is helpful to these folks because, chances are they don't really want a shot of a tree. And they don't really want a shot of a landscape, just a regular old landscape. They want people interaction. They want unusual objects. They want icons or, something to help relay the feeling or the message of whatever they're trying to convey. So photographing unusual objects and things of that nature and offering them up for stock is not a bad idea, and I think is another thing to consider. The next option is weddings and portraits. Now, weddings, I think, are an excellent revenue stream. I use weddings myself to augment my income, and I do about 8 to 10 a year. And if I keep it at that level, I really enjoy it. If I start doing more than that, the whole thing will start to get to me because there's a lot of work around weddings. It's not just wedding day itself. You have, first of all, you have to find clients, and I do that through word of mouth and through my website. That's the way clients come to me. I do have a Yellow Pages ad too, but I have to tell you, I don't really get that much business from my phone book ad. I get calls, but a lot of times when people call me, they're just kind of shopping. They're not really hung up on me per se. They're just kind of looky-looing around. Whereas when I get a referral, almost every time that person ends up hiring me. So, it's nice to have your name in the phone book if someone wants to verify that you're really a photographer. But in terms of actually bringing in business, I think you probably have better luck as a plumber than a photographer by being in the phone book. The website does help a lot, and more and more people are searching on the web for photographers. And I'll tell you the situation where this really comes in handy for clients is that when they're having a wedding somewhere other than where they live. For instance, you used to live in California, you have friends and family there, you're living in New York now, you've been in New York for 5 years, and you want to go back to California to have your wedding. So you don't really know, you just can't go over to a photographer's studio and, check them out and things like that. And those folks tend to use the web a lot to, find a photographer. And I get a lot of jobs through my website from people who are out of the area and who want to make a connection with somebody. And the reason why they like websites is because you get to look at their photos, you get to read about them, you get to find out a lot about the person before you ever fill out that web form or send them an email or make a phone call. So it's very efficient for people who are shopping from a distance to find a photographer via the web. And if you are thinking about going into this line of work, portraits or weddings, then I think it's almost mandatory that you have a website so that they can look at your work and learn a little bit about your philosophy around these sorts of assignments. Now, the thing about weddings, I will say, is you need to get a few under your belt before you really start calling yourself a wedding photographer. There is a lot to a wedding. And you really have to have your act together. You can't just go into a wedding with one camera body, one flash, and think that, you're ready to go. Because the whole thing about a wedding is that it happens once, and you have to capture everything that happens. And if you have a camera malfunction, or if you have a flash malfunction, or any number of things that can happen to you at a wedding, you need to have a number two and a number three that are ready to go right away. And it really helps to have someone with you to help you find where that second camera body is as the bride gets ready to kiss the groom. So weddings require planning. They require the ability to handle different sorts of situations. They require the ability to work quickly. People don't want to waste a lot of time having their pictures taken during a wedding. Well, some people do, but most don't. And they require, you being very adaptive to the situation. So I think to really find out if this is a line of work that you're going to like, as a sideline even, is, find a friend's wedding. Find a wedding where you can be not the main photographer, but the second photographer. Approach it like you're the only photographer, except, don't irritate number one photographer, right? Approach it like you're the main photographer. Analyze your process and your results afterwards. Try to make an improvement and do another wedding where you either assist or are somehow not the main photographer. Get a feel for it and then decide if it's something that you want to branch out into on your own. And if you do, I have to say, if you like weddings, if you enjoy shooting weddings, as I do, it's an excellent revenue stream. It pays well. It's actually one of the better paying assignments that I get. And it feels good because it's a happy event. You're recording something that, you know, is for many people, hopefully, or at least for half the people in the U.S., it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. So wedding photography is very nice. Now, portrait photography, on the other hand, I think is a little bit harder money-wise, and I'll tell you why. I don't charge as much for portraits as I do for weddings. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe that's just a shortcoming on my behalf. But I don't seem to make as much money on portraiture as I do on weddings. And I do still work hard on portraiture, and I really enjoy it. And I especially enjoy where I get to do one-on-one portraiture, but I also like the group shots and the family stuff. So it is, again, it's a good sideline. I make decent money at it, certainly enough if I were just looking to augment my equipment and have a little revenue stream in. And I enjoy it. And I tell you, it makes for really nice websites if you're a portrait photographer. One of the things I would advise if you want to think about going into this line of work is that, especially if you live somewhere that has beautiful outdoor settings available, is don't worry so much about building a studio for portraiture, but find some really good locations. Like, I have a couple parks here in Santa Rosa, California, in Northern California, that are just gorgeous. And a lot of us photographers in town use this place. And we even had this joke when we run into each other. One in particular is Juilliard Park. We have this joke with each other that, oh, hey, what are you doing over here at my outdoor studio kind of thing? And, you know, we all sort of say, hey, this is my outdoor studio. And it's really corny, but, you know, what else are you going to talk about when you run into another photographer on a shoot at the park? So, you know, but again, we're all kind of on the same thing. It's so much easier, and I think in the long run, I like the shots better, to find some great outdoor settings where you can shoot, and you don't have to set up a studio, and you can just call yourself an environmental portrait photographer, and off you go. So then all you really need is, some reflectors and a couple cameras and a flash or two, and you're in business. So that's a nice little revenue stream, and it's something to consider. You can get portraits through the phone book, through the Yellow Pages. You'll get a lot of people wanting high school shots and stuff, but you can also get family shots and so forth. Again, a website is critical, and again, building up a network, you know, a referral network is really important for this line of work. So while we're doing this brainstorming, I have one more to mention to you. And this one, personally, I'm not as crazy about, and I wouldn't do it, but I sort of need to bring it up, which is the whole soccer team, Pop Warner football, Little League kind of thing, where you take pictures, where you take the team shots and the individual shots of kids that are in these various recreational teams. Now, you can break into this. Now, there are photographers who specialize in this kind of work, and they will, obviously they're making a living at it, a lot of them, so they're going to be very protective of their turf. But then again, you know, we almost always know people who have kids that are on these teams and so forth, and you can get started. You really can. And it only takes a couple and to be successful, and then you're off to the races too. And so this, I think through personal networking, you can get started in this type of assignment. The thing that I would advise that if you want to go down this road, really study how someone else has done it first and practice before you do the first shoot, because I tell you, this is major cat herding, right? All these little kids and parents and all this sort of stuff. And I think it takes a special kind of personality to do it. Also, keep in mind that sometimes local newspapers, and if you have local magazines in your area, I would research them. They almost all depend now on freelance photography. Hardly any of them have staff photographers. And the large papers do, but the smaller papers, a lot of times they just depend on freelancers or the reporters themselves are taking shots. So take a look at what's being published, what's going on around you. Keep an eye out for websites that you know that need help. Take a look at Craigslist. That's always a great place for people who are looking for photography or for people who want to promote their own photography. And I would say the last piece of advice that I'd give around this is I recommend that you focus on a type of photography that you like already. Don't just do something for the money. Again, the whole idea about our virtual camera club here is that this is a passion. This is an artistic expression. This is something that we enjoy. So just in order to make a few bucks, don't wander off into something you don't enjoy and kind of mess it up for yourself. So shoot what you love. Start with people you know and go from there. And if you have any good success stories, send them in to me. I'd love to hear them. And maybe we can actually even start publishing some of these and point to the galleries and things like that. I'd love to do that. So if you do have success, write me, let me know about it, and we'll go from there. Okay, I have just a little bit of Virtual Camera Club business. I want to remind you that the photo assignment for September is Circle, and that you have to the end of the month to send your shot in. Now, this gallery will go up a little bit late because I'm going to be on assignment at the beginning of the month, and I may or may not be able to get to it, but I doubt it. I'll keep you posted online, but figure that the Circle gallery will go up a little bit later. Then it won't be like October 1st or 2nd. But I will get it up as quickly as possible. But get your entry in by the end of the month so we can be fair to everyone else. Keep those grab shots coming in. Photo are my favorite lens, absolutely. And again, think about trying something to make a few dollars. And if you do make a few bucks, be sure to let us know about it. I think it'd be really great for everyone in the camera club here to be able to share in your experiences. And then don't forget, keep taking pictures. Whatever you do, no matter what happens, keep shooting. In fact, go out and take some shots right now, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.